Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rebecca with Squishy. Jesus knows you, and you can know him too. Before I get into things, I actually have a word for our at-home church. During worship this morning, I just really felt it impressed on my heart that the Lord wants you to release your worship. And I know I've been there. I've done the at-home thing, and I know that it's real easy to stay in your jammies, put your feet up, you know, eat breakfast and watch along, and all that's fine. But the truth is, we were made to worship. We are worshipers. It is our identity. And if you've gone this 6 months without releasing a sound of worship, then part of who you've been made to be is missing. And so I just want to encourage you, get somewhere alone. You don't have to do it in front of your family. You don't have to stand up right now and sing a song, although I'm sure they would enjoy that. But get somewhere alone, get in your car, get in your room by yourself, turn on some worship music, and release your worship. And I believe that God is going to release something to you as you do that. Amen. And the rest of you, I would ask that you release the sound as I'm preaching. I promise I'll do better if I can hear a little response from you, because all I see is eyeballs, and sometimes I don't know if you're drooling under there or if we're all doing okay. And so I promise you, I'll preach a little better if I can hear a little something coming back from you. Amen. I wanted to tell everybody this morning, happy pepperoni pizza day. It's a thing. And it's punch day. So I hope this afternoon you can enjoy some pepperoni pizza and some punch. Yesterday was National Speak Like a Pirate Day. On cue, very well, but that was yesterday. So you missed it. I'm sorry. Save it for next year, September 19th. Mark it on your calendar. It also was National Red Panda Day. And here you thought we had little to celebrate. JJ brought up Advent. You know, Christmas is less than 100 days away. Can I get a hallelujah? I'm excited for Christmas. Just because it's Christmas. And tomorrow, and this is no joke, is International Peace Day. It's a day that the UN advocates for. It's supposed to be a ceasefire and peace across the world. And so isn't that something that we're going to be talking about peace today? And tomorrow is International Peace Day. So make sure you celebrate. We are returning to our series called Locally Grown, where we're looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This all comes from Galatians 5, where Paul is imploring us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we're filled with him, the natural overflow of our lives will be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. These aren't attributes that we need to achieve, but they are evidence of a life lived with God. I love that it's really simple here. That if I want more peace in my life, if I want more joy in my life, the scripture says that it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. To gain these things in my life, all I need to do is draw near, to grow deep, to be close with God. It's simple, but there are no shortcuts. There's no way around it. The only way that we can live with these fruits demonstrated in our lives is through the Holy Spirit. And here is the thing about our church in particular, we don't just believe in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today, I would really hate it if I just said a whole bunch of words and you nodded along and you're being kind and being a little more vocal for me. But I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that today there will be an impartation of peace for you, that you can walk out of this room today lighter. You can walk out of this room today with peace in a way that you didn't walk in with it this morning. Anybody want to join me in that?
Yes.
Amen. So today is all about peace. In the Old Testament, the word for peace was shalom, and it means completeness, fullness, wholeness, safety, and health. It's a pretty big word right there.
Yep.
It's a lot of things we're all seeking and looking for and turning on Netflix trying to find, and maybe eating a few cookies here and there or looking at a bottle. Remember, only place we find it is in the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, peace is mentioned in every single book, save two. And one of those is just like a few sentences long, so I don't know if it really counts. And there's different words throughout the New Testament that are used for peace. And some words talk about peace that's on the outside. It's a corporate peace. It's across the nations or across a nation and a community. Sometimes the word is very relational, and it's talking about restoration and reconciliation and peace coming through those things. Sometimes the word is peace of mind, and sometimes it's peace in your spirit, and sometimes it's peace in your body. Peace doesn't have very tight lines drawn around it. The peace of God wants to touch every area of our lives. And that is good, good news. Years ago, there was an art contest. And the subject matter was to depict peace. And so lots of pieces of art came in of beaches and pastures and sleeping babies. And then there was one that came in that was unlike all the rest. And it was the winning piece. And you can see it here. You can see that it's a raging waterfall. And in the background, what you may not be able to see in this room very well, hopefully online you can see it a little more clearly, is there's a storm at sea. And there's lightning and crashing. And it looks violent. And this is the picture of peace. And the reason is because right there is a little sleeping bird hanging out on his nest in the midst of the crazy, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the chaos. The bird rests. And this is what peace is. Peace is not the absence of hardship and trial and difficulty and suffering. Peace isn't the absence of something. It is the presence of someone. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. Isaiah 26:3, we're told that we will be kept in perfect peace, when our eyes are fixed on him, because it reveals that we trust in him. So the reality is, we can have peace in the midst of this pandemic, and we can have peace in an election year. We can have peace in the midst of racial tension. We can have peace with our kids at home. We can have peace with our kids at home. Amen. God wants to give us his peace. In Judges chapter 6, there's a story of Gideon. And in the biblical history, where we are, is that Moses had led the people out of Egypt, and Joshua had helped them conquer the promised land, and they are settled there. But as is their MO, they fall back into sin and disobedience. And so the Lord allowed some neighboring nations to come and bring trouble upon their land. And so for 7 years, the Midianites had been pillaging and devouring their crops. So every time the crops would start to grow, they would come through and they would raid and they would devour and cut down and take everything that they could. And so we find Gideon in this setting, and it says that he is beating out wheat in the wine press. Now, I don't know much about beating wheat, and I don't know much about wine presses, so I looked it up. And a wine press is basically a big hole in the ground where you press wine, stomp on grapes. And then I read about threshing wheat. And to thresh wheat, you need wind, because wind separates the chaff from the wheat. You don't get a whole lot of wind when you're down in a hole. But Gideon was down in the hole threshing wheat, and I don't know what he was threshing wheat. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how you thresh wheat down in a hole, but Gideon was threshing wheat. And it's because he was terrified. He was afraid. The Midianites kept coming and they kept taking everything he had. So he took everything he had and he went down in a hole. And he's trying to get the job done down in a hole. He was terrified. And so an angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon and he says, "Mighty man of valor." I mean, that's funny. Should have said, "Coward, get out of there." As God never speaks to us that way, though. See, God always sees beyond where we are right now. He always sees who we really are, not our current behavior. He says, "Mighty man of valor." And Gideon, as most of the faith heroes in the Bible do, he's like, "You got the wrong guy. You've got the wrong guy. You see, my clan is the weakest in all of Manasseh. And me, I'm the runt of the litter. I'm my father's youngest. I'm the least significant in all of my house." You got the wrong guy. And the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, "But God is with you." Amen. And then they have a little bit more of an interaction. And then in verse 23 of chapter 6, it says, "But the Lord said to him," and I find it interesting because it doesn't say the Lord said through the angel. I don't know. Could have been. "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die.' Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace.'" God chose this moment in history and this man to reveal to all of us for all of time, for the first time, that he is a God of peace. In the Hebrew, it says he is Jehovah Shalom. I am peace. I am the Lord, your peace. In the place of Gideon's fear, God revealed himself as peace. And he doesn't just reveal himself and say, "You're going to be okay. I know these are really hard times. It's going to be okay." He said, "No, I'm your peace. And by the way, you're going to lead an army against the most powerful army in the world right now. And you're going to win, and you're going to do it with 300 men. He ups the ante. And so what this tells me here is that when God spoke, when God told him, "I am your peace," Gideon received peace. There was a transfer, there was an impartation, and Gideon now walked in peace. And I do believe, church, he wants to reveal himself to us today. Right here, right in the middle, right in the middle of 2020. He wants to reveal himself to you today as peace. I have this real unhealthy pattern of always putting peace right here. Next step, you know? As soon as I'm done with this project, as soon as my kids are sleeping through the night, as soon as I'm done with this class, as soon as this person graduates, as soon as Travis does this thing, that's always real fun. As soon as, then I'll be able to step into peace. And I did this recently. I had put a whole lot of stock in my kids starting school back. I've been waiting 6 months, y'all. As soon as, I love routine and plans. I know for some of you, you're like, "Ugh, I hate those kind of people." I am that kind of person. I love a good plan. I'll make your plan better. I was banking on this plan to give me a little freedom, to give me a little breathing room, to help me have peace. It didn't, by the way. I realized that on Friday of last week. I was like, "Oh, okay, so there's not peace in this, huh?" But then the Lord came and he said, you can have peace right here in the midst of all the crazy. In the midst of figuring it out, you don't have to get it figured out first to have peace. I'll give you peace as you walk it out and as you figure it out. I went over to my brother and sister-in-law's, and she was one of the recipients of some of my frustration that week, and she said, "Well, how are you doing?" Or, "How's it going?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing better." Meaning nothing had changed. There wasn't a magical thing that happened where all of a sudden heaven opened and everything changed for me. No, I changed. Because God came and gave me peace. And I was able to move forward in that. Philippians 4:7 tells us that the peace of God surpasses our understanding. Other versions say it transcends our understanding. It's above our understanding. It is outside of our understanding. The peace of God doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. All the chaos can't compete with God's peace. And that leads me to my second point. Peace is not passive. Peace is powerful. The second half of that verse that I just read, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." The peace of God is the sentry over your heart and your mind. God's peace stands guard and wards off anything that would oppose his peace. You know, research has proven over and over and over again that stress wreaks havoc on our bodies. Any level of stress, it messes with us in a big way. And the good news is we have the antidote. It's peace. And we don't have to wait for it to get developed in a lab somewhere. And there's no bad side effects. We can have peace today. Peace is a place we fight from, and it's something we fight for. In Ephesians 14, we're told that Jesus is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility between Republican and Democrat. Oh, it doesn't say that, but it was implying Jew and Gentile. Polar opposites. The gospel is big enough to break down every wall that divides us. God's peace is enough to bring it down and bring us together in unity. It is. It's enough. And that's what we fight for. We fight for one another. We don't fight against one another in the name of some cause. We fight for one another, for restoration and reconciliation in relationships. We fight for the gospel of peace to be made manifest on the earth. Amen. Peace is not passive. Peace will pave a way where there is no way. You know, we create peace around us when we have peace within us. My friend, my mentor, Benedict Early, she has fostered peace within her. And so when I'm on the phone with her or over a Zoom call, or it just takes a few minutes and I can feel her peace. And it affects me and it disarms me because she's walked closely with the Holy Spirit and she's fostered peace in her own spirit. I can feel her peace. In Mark chapter 4, there's a story of Jesus and the disciples, and Jesus had been preaching and he said, "Hey guys, let's go across the lake here." And he gets in the boat, he's tired, so he falls asleep. Some of you know the story, middle of the night, and there's this crazy storm. And the boat's all over the place, and the disciples are totally panicked. And they wake Jesus up, and they're like, "Don't you care that we're all going to perish?" And Jesus wipes the sleep out of his eyes, stands up, and he speaks to the storm, and he says, "Peace, be still." You see, the disciples' insides had matched their outsides. The environment was stormy, was chaotic, was crazy. So the disciples responded to what was outside of them, and it became stormy and crazy and chaotic on the inside of them. Jesus has peace on the inside of him. And so he, instead of waking up and saying, "Oh man, you're right, it's crazy," he has peace. And so he can create an environment of peace outside of him. Instead of letting what was outside affect what was inside, he took what was inside and he planted it outside of him. Family, we can do the same thing. We don't have to eat all the crazy chaos that is swirling in the world around us. But when we walk closely with the Holy Spirit, when we foster peace deep within our own spirits, then we can take authority of the storm that's outside of us, and we can create a place of peace around us. Peace is not in competition with panic. Peace from God Panic is no match. It has to fall when it's faced with peace from God. It's time for us to rise up in faith. rise up, church. James 3:18 tells us that the peacemakers who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. See, again, peace isn't passive. It's not just this thing that kind of sits there. It grows. It develops. It flourishes. So as we walk in peace, we're just planting seeds, waiting for a harvest of righteousness to come forth. Worship team, come on up and join me. Peace is not passive. Peace is powerful. Lastly, I want you to know today that peace is not an idea. Peace is a person. Peace is a person. In Isaiah 9, 6, our favorite Christmas passage, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I love to pray for people. I love to pray for people. And my favorite thing is when I stand with someone and I can see God's heart for that person. It's always beautiful. It's always kind. It's always hopeful. I have never stood with someone and felt the Lord not happy over a person, not disappointed. I've never felt that. He's always so loving. And one of the ways that God speaks to me is that he'll show me pictures, or sometimes it'll be little movies. Sometimes I'll see like a verse or something in my mind's eye, and it's always different, which is really encouraging, because then I know it's not me. My imagination is really limited, but God's is not. He doesn't run out of words and truth and showing us how he loves us. He just doesn't ever run out. But there's this one vision that I've had dozens of times. And at first, I thought it was kind of weird, and I hesitated on, you know, encouraging a person with it. But I just think it's something that the Lord has for us today. And it's, he's the Prince of Peace. And what I see is he's standing at the door of our house, and he's got a couple bags. And we have this option. Do we want to let him in? Do we want to invite Prince of Peace to come in? Do we want him to come and be in our house with us? Do we want him to make a home with us? I just feel like when we say yes and he comes in the door, he's got like Mary Poppins bags. And so he sets them down, and then he starts to unpack. And he's like pulling out lamps and couches and refrigerators, and he's moving in. He doesn't want to just come and visit and spend a few moments with you and pat you on the back and be on his way. He wants to move in. He wants to abide. He wants to dwell. He wants to stay. And the thing is, when he comes and he's got all his stuff, he takes up space. And sometimes it means that we have to move some of our stuff out to make room for some of his stuff. So church today, do you want to invite the Prince of Peace to move in? Could you in your heart today make room? Maybe you got to move a few things out. Can you make room for the Prince of Peace to come and live and stay and abide in your house? Growing in peace is not a destination. It is a relationship with a person. I want us to sing the blessing, and for some of you, it may be more powerful to stand and declare these words over your life. For some of you, you need the worship team to impart it to you and sing over you, and either one is fine. This song came out right at the beginning of this pandemic in March, and I believe it is God's word for us in this season. So I encourage you now, as they sing this benediction over you, you can stand and sing, or you can stay seated. I'll be back up in a minute. Grace Covenant, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Ministry team, come forward. We have a couple teams who are ready to minister today. Would love to pray for you, especially if you've never given your life to Jesus. It would make our day to be able to stand and pray with you. Otherwise, I released you to be filled with peace, to go in peace, and to be peace to the world around you. I love you, family. We'll see you next week.